It's really interesting. I'm going to talk about the myth of Wu Dao Zhu, a Chinese artist. But what's really interesting is that my wife just set the camera up for me to do this podcast. And she started by clapping hands like that, just to test the sound, to make sure the sound was running. And it's a very interesting part of the story that I'm about to tell, this whole clapping of the hands. So this is about the myth of Wu Dao Zhu, who was a Chinese artist in the Tang Dynasty. And the legend goes that he spent years building a mural, or painting a mural, of a city with these huge palatial gates. And at the very end of building this mural of this city with these gates, he stood before his completed work of art, clapped his hands, and the gates in the painting opened. He walked through the gates in his painting, and the gates closed behind him, and he was never seen again. So the myth is that he painted his own reality, and climbed into his own reality. And it's a beautiful myth because it kind of says we can create our own reality. We can paint the mural we want to live in. And as a myth, it's beautiful. But if I didn't think it had some truth in reality, I wouldn't be talking about it now. So when my wife put the sound on and she clapped and she turned the screen around, she's helping me to create this reality now. I'm creating a reality that's going to go on screen. It's going to go on the internet. It's going to go on, you know, YouTube and all these different places, and Twitter, social media, and it's going to go around the world. So people are going to watch this and enter this reality for, I don't know how long this might be, 15 or 20 minutes or something. So for the 20 minutes they watch this, if it's absorbing and they surrender to it, they will create this reality of having this time with me. And then hopefully take that lesson and go out and say, okay, if reality is just fiction, if it's just a mural that we create with our imagination, you know, and if we colour it with our imagination, what kind of reality do I want to live in? When I look back at my own life, I think, fucking hell, that's absolutely true. I really did paint the mural I wanted to paint with my imagination, using my sound, my talking, you know, using my skills to create a reality. I remember sitting by a swimming pool in Florida. I'd gone over there with my friend Ian McCraner and a team of fighters. We were fighting in the American National Karate Championships. And I was a terrible competitor, by the way. I was a good karate guy and a good martial artist, but I was never a very good point scorer. But we went over there, we created we raised money, and we took a team of 12 people over to Florida to fight in the national championships, and we spent 2 weeks there. We created it. We rented a house for 12 people, had a swimming pool. It was a really wonderful thing. My friend Ian McCraner taught me how to do that. You know, at the time I was a good martial artist. I was a doorman of some repute. I was finding truths. And Ian said, let's go to America. Let's go and take a team to America. I remember thinking, that's a good idea, but that ain't going to happen. I just couldn't think that big. And then all of a sudden, Ian showed me how to raise money, how to bring a team together. I mean, we created the whole thing. I think in the end, we took teams there three times, once to Florida, and then I think twice to Chicago. I didn't go on the third time, but I think the third time, Ian took something like 40 people. He raised the money to take 40 people. See, that's big thinking. And I love that. We created that reality by imagining it first. And bringing all the details together. We imagined the essence of it. The essence of it was us in Florida with a team fighting in the national championships. Then we started to inquire about how to get into it, how much we needed to raise, how much the flights would cost, about renting a house, how, you know, we started to liaise with people in America. So we started to paint our mural by finding out details, and we started to put them in place. And then suddenly we were flying to America We literally clapped our hands and stepped into that mural, stepped into that piece of art, and created that. For 2 weeks, we were living in this palatial house in Florida. That was one of my earliest lessons of creating a mural and climbing into it. It's very real. This myth of Wu Dao Zhu might sound like it's just a myth and then it's just fantasy, but it's actually reality. And interestingly, when I was, I'll go back to the door in a minute about talking about when I created that reality, but when we was in Florida, sitting around the pool, my wife had retired, she had gone into the bedroom, and she was, you know, she had an early night, and I was sat around the pool with all the lads talking about my book. I'm going to publish this book, watch my back. This is chapter one, and this is what I'm going to say in chapter two, and in chapter three I'm going to talk about that, and in chapter four I think I'll do that. And I started to talk about the book I wanted to publish. Now, at the time I thought it was impossible to publish my own book. I thought it was impossible to be an author. But I realised, sitting around that pool, when I got excited and talking to my friends about this book, about a nightclub bouncer who becomes a doorman to overcome his fears. You know, I was just a factory kid. I was working in factories, sweeping floors, working on building sites, carrying hods, laying bricks, digging roads, you know, everything, a myriad different jobs. Who dreamed of being a writer, and I sat around the pool painting my mural. It was brilliant. It's only when I look back that I realise the myth of Wu Dao Zhu is true. I did paint that mural, and I made it so real, so visceral, so three-dimensional, with all the emotions and with all the projections of, you know, of what I wanted to feel and how I wanted to be as an author. Can you imagine a working class kid like me being an author of a book, you know, but having a book written by me? The idea was just fantastical, but it was such a dream. So I sat and painted that mural with all the details. I mean, it wasn't just like I sat and talked about it. You know, I found out how do you contact publishers. How do you get in touch with agents? You know, what is the process of publishing a book? So you go into the bookshop and you just say, look, I'm interested in publishing a book. Who would you talk to? So they say, oh, why don't you read the Writers and Artists Yearbook? That's full of addresses and phone numbers and criteria for publishing a book. Everything you need to know about publishing a book is in the Writers and Artists Yearbook. So that's another part of my mural. I get the Writers and Artists Yearbook. I read up all of the different places, and I read what they want. This publisher says, this is how you present your work. This is how we like to see it. This is the kind of work we like to see. This is the kind of work we're looking for. Then this is how it needs to be presented. So they say it needs to be typed, double spaced, needs to be neat, needs to have a synopsis, you know, a little bit about who's written it and a little bit about the market you think it might work for. So that was part of my mural. So I got a star writer, typewriter, very old fashioned. This is before, before the advent of being able to type on, you know, being able to kind of access computers, for me anyway. You know, I had no idea about accessing a computer at that time. It was all typewriters. So I got a star writer and I wrote all my handwritten, I'd got some of it typed already by a friend of mine, then I wrote some more on a typewriter, started to send it off. So I started to paint the mural by finding out the information. So I'm thinking, okay, in this new reality, I would like to experience this, I'd like to experience this, I'd like to experience that. So I started to get information about those things, find out about those things. Suddenly, I'm sending my book off to publishers and excitedly waiting for them to come back to me, whether they'll like it or not like it. Some people said, you know, thank you for sending it, leave your number in the bin. Other people didn't reply at all. Some people just didn't read it. Sometimes you could tell it wasn't open. Some people read it and said they didn't like it, but we can't send it back unless you send us the post. So I'd have to send them stamps. So it was very exciting, always waiting for that. You know, for that letter through the mailbox. And eventually, of course, I did get it and I did get published. And then when it was published, I stepped into that mural. That mural became a reality to me. The gates opened. I walked through the gates closed behind me. I was never seen again. That old Jeff, the Jeff who didn't believe it was possible, was gone. That reality was gone. I was in a new reality, and in that new reality, I learned to paint new murals. Learned to paint, you know, I wanted to be a playwright, I wanted to be a film writer, I wanted to win a BAFTA, I wanted to experience these things. I wanted to be a senior martial artist, I wanted to, you know, teach around the world, I wanted to live in London, I wanted all these things. I started to paint all those murals. I wanted to be in better shape. I was overweight. I wanted to be more secure in myself. I was very jealous and insecure because of historical abuse when I was a kid. So I started to look at what is it that you want to paint? What kind of mural do you want? What kind of life do you want? You paint it. You know, it's not like, you know, people say, let's go and find a job. You don't find a job. You create a job. Well, let's try and find a house to live in. You don't find a house to live in. You create a house to live in. Let's try and find good health. You don't find good health. You create good health. That's the mural you paint. Of course, in the early days, I used my imagination accidentally to paint all the wrong murals. I painted the murals of depression and anxiety and fear. And every day I climbed in through that gate and it closed behind me and I was never seen again. I was lost in the fog of depression or fear or anger. So I was continually painting very visceral, very three-dimensional realities, accidentally, completely accidentally. This is why it's so inspiring. I was accidentally, then I'd climb into it. Like the door, for instance. You know, people think, you just got a job on the door, you became a doorman. Actually, it wasn't like that. I had to paint that mural in all of the dimensions before that happened. I had a fear of violence. I had a fear of violent confrontations. I was afraid of fear. I was afraid of adrenaline. I was afraid of my own emotions. I had no sovereignty over myself. So I decided that I was going to become a nightclub doorman to overcome that. So I went from working in factories and, you know, sweeping floors and working on building sites to becoming a nightclub doorman. And that world didn't exist to me. Obviously, we'd all heard of bouncers and doormen, but that world didn't exist to me. I painted that reality. I decided I was going to do it because that's a way for me to ultimately overcome my fears, you know, test myself at the highest level. How I felt at the time. So I started to find out how to become a doorman. I started to talk to friends who knew doormen, and I started to venture gradually into that world, and I started to paint that mural of nightclub doors. And then suddenly I was living it. I went through the gates, they closed behind me, and I was a nightclub doorman for many, many years. I lived and breathed it. It was a three-dimensional world of beer sticky carpets, you know, scantily clad girls, violent men, charismatic men, you know, balmy nightclubs, pubs, you know, doing the doors on, you know, on bars on football day. You know, I created this, but if you've read Watch My Back, you'll have seen the world I created. I created that by painting it as a mural. I created it by painting that mural. I got all the details. I saw it in my mind. I got my imagination running wild with it until I could see it. And then I got a job and stepped into it and then started to fully immerse myself. And then when that became too much and I realised it was not the right path for me, it was a good experience and I learned massive, I'm still learning from it now. I decided that that reality wasn't for me. So I'd created it and for that period of time I'd maintained it. I'm the creator and the maintainer of my mural. And then I decided to dissolve it. So I started to gradually withdraw from that world. I took attention away from that world. I took breath away from that world. I took energy from that world, I took life force from that world, and that world doesn't exist to me anymore. That was 20 years ago, it just doesn't exist. All the lessons are there, and all the learning's there, but that world doesn't exist anymore. In fact, some of the pubs and nightclubs I worked in actually physically don't exist. They've been demolished and knocked down, and one of them's a hairdresser's, one of them's a house, another one of them's I can't remember what it became. Something else anyway, but not a nightclub anymore. Just, I think it became a block of flats. So, the myth of Wu Dao Zhu is that we paint a mural with our imagination. We climb into that mural and make it our reality. People are doing that every single day. And of course, if your palette of colours comes from watching Jeremy Kyle and watching the soaps and watching the bad news in the morning and reading the tabloids, that's your tablet of colours. That's the kind of reality you're going to create. That's the mural you're going to create every single day. But actually, if you choose to create a different mural, you can start getting your information from other places, and you can create a mural from that palette. So in the early days, all of my stuff came from a belief that the world was dangerous, and that I needed to defend myself, and that was the reality I painted every day and climbed into, until I got so sick of it that I thought, I've got to get rid of this. And I just withdrew from it and created a new reality. We can do this whenever we want. It's not easy. Conceptually, it's very simple, but it's not easy to do, because in order to create a new reality, we have to destroy an old reality. You know, we have to withdraw from one. We can't have a foot in both camps. So I've learned to paint the mural I want to paint. If I want to be secure, then I paint the mural of a secure man. If I want to, when I wanted to be a judo guy, I wanted to be a really good judo guy. I saw that really clearly. I spoke to my friends about it. I got details about it. I got information about it. I took private lessons with Wayne Lakin for 2 years. And then suddenly at Neil Adams' full-time judo class, training with Olympians every single day. I completely changed my reality. That was my job. I was rolling with internationals, with Olympic players every day. I had 5 judo suits, and that was my job for 18 months. I created that reality by painting that mural, and when it served its purpose, I withdrew my energy from that place and I went into another reality. And that judo club doesn't even exist anymore. Neil's still about and the lads are still around, but that club is no longer there. That opportunity, I would say that I created the opportunity. I didn't find the opportunity, I created it. I painted that mural. So it's looking at your life and thinking, is this where I want to be? Is this what I want to do? Is this how I want to live? Because at some level, that's what we are all choosing. Even if it's just that we're not choosing better or choosing differently. And then start looking and thinking, okay, what do I want to live? What changes do I have to make to dissolve this reality, to create a new reality? And then you bring that palette together. You know, whether that's taking mentoring or going to classes or reading books, to bring your palette of colours together. And then you paint this mural that you want to live in, that you want, and then you step into it. So it's got the girl of your dreams, the boy of your dreams. It's got the house you want to live in. It's got the car you'd like to drive. It's got the freedom that you're searching for. You paint that reality, and you paint it according to your spec, according to your specification, not according to other people. I'm working with people all the time who are doing this. They're creating their own reality. So the myth of Wu Dao Zhu is not a myth to me. It's reality. It's how I live. I've got proof. I am the proof. You know, I'm living it. I'm doing it. It's not been easy. Letting go of some of the old realities, challenging some of the old beliefs, has been very difficult, because those beliefs were attached to people that I love, and not all of them were happy about me moving on and leaving. I mean, obviously the option is for them to come with you into this new reality, but they don't always choose to. And sometimes when you choose a new reality and it's difficult for people, they don't just fall away, they fall away attacking, they judge, you know, and they criticise. And obviously that's about them, but that's probably why most people don't create a new mural, because you start painting a new one and people will go, who do you think you are? What are you doing that for? What's wrong with the reality you're in? What's wrong with this job? Your friend's not good enough for you suddenly. And you just say, well, that's not actually how I feel. I just want to create a new reality. I just want to create a new mural, a better mural, something that's more fulfilling, something that allows me to use my talents, something that allows me to invest my soul. And that's about finding out exactly where you want to be, exactly what you want to do, and then start to bring the mural together. And you'll know whether it's the right direction for you, because as you start to build the mural, you'll get a closer and closer look at that reality, and you'll be able to see whether it's right for you or not. You might get a little bit further down the line and think, actually, it's not exactly what I wanted. I think I'll try something else. There's an infinite amount of realities that you can create. There's as many realities as there are people. So why not paint a mural that honours you, honours your life, honours your essence, honours your unique talents. The talents, if you look up in the Bible, the parable of the talents, I believe it's just talking about the soul, the talents of the soul. We have this soul incarnated in this body. And in order for the soul to grow, we have to give the soul away. We have to sacrifice the soul. And as we sacrifice the soul and give it away, we expand and grow. So it's about investing your talents in the right place, and trying to figure out, each of us trying to figure out what that is, what your dharma is. So coming back to the centre of that, it's about this whole thing of paint the mural you want to live in. Don't paint a shithole. Don't take the same information every single day. Paint a shithole and say, what a shithole this place is. You fucking painted it. I painted it. Other people painted their realities and they stay in it. But most people just don't know they're painting it. They're making the same realities every day, forgetting they've made it, and then saying, isn't reality terrible? They're painting murals with monsters in, then they're forgetting they've painted it, and then they're saying, isn't the world full of monsters? That's what I did. I painted the reality of a doorman, and I said to my wife, isn't the world violent? It's full of violence. Everywhere I go, there's violence. And she said, there's one common denominator, Jeff, and that's you. You are in every aspect of that reality. You are the one that's painting it. Paint something better.
Thank you.